Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that as we open our heart to you and to your Holy Spirit, you guide us, Lord, into freedom, into victory, into, Lord, all the things you have prepared for us. We ask you, Lord, that your word may be effective on our mind, that we may respond to it, Lord, and open up our heart to receive it and to see it manifested in us. We give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, because, Lord, we know that we are in the truth, and it's the truth that set us free. We give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we had a break on for Easter. I'm going to go back to what I was dealing with before. Okay. And I was, describing or listing some of the spiritual laws that we had to understand to be able to receive, to be able to have victory, to be able to overcome the situations we may be in. Okay. But we had to, to know scriptures and to just do nothing with them doesn't do any good. It's when we apply them to our situations, to our life, when we deal with things in our life according to God's way, because this is what the scriptures give us. And in the scripture, one of the things that we can get, okay, is there are some general laws, spiritual laws, functioning, okay, that make a complete difference to us, okay. The fact is that sometimes it's not that easy to do it, because there are, life is complicated. There are many things going on. And sometimes one principle and another principle appears to do and give us different directions. If that's the case, we have a problem. Because if we really understand things properly, there's not going to be confusion. God is not a God of confusion, it's a God of order. And when we understand things properly, then everything fits together well. But when things don't fit properly together, that means that God is no wrong. As some people think, oh, the Bible is not up to date. No, they are not up to date. Because they've been updated from the beginning, and that is going to not change. Jesus said that it's not going to change, not even a tittle, not even a comma nor a mark there. Everything is going to remain the same till the very end, because this is the way God created the whole world. Is for stability, is for order, is for find way to resolve things and not to bring conflict and confusion. But we have to have the wisdom and the understanding. So we saw some of them already. Okay, one of them, I was concerning about peace, how to get peace in our heart. That probably is, the most important thing. And when it talks about peace in Hebrew, actually, as given in Isaiah 26:3, is not just I'm peaceful. Oh, I'm relaxed. That's not it. Shalom involves all well-being. It means emotionally, physically, financially, everything. Well, it means that you got everything you need. And for that reason, you are at peace, because you are not there struggling, working hard to get things and getting nowhere. Because generally that's the case. When we work hard, it's because we are trying to do it ourselves instead of letting God do it for us the way he intended in the first place. Or we have a part. And really, the scripture I just finished mentioning to you, that you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You know, the mind there is the critical part. Actually, the word in Hebrew there is jetzer. And doesn't really mean mind the way we think about our intellect. Okay, what Jethro is really the root there, okay, involves form. Okay, involves the fact that there is, a construction, and conception. It's also used for conception. It's used for imagination. So, because our imagination, our thinking, essentially is all the things that has to do with our purpose, our intellectual framework, the way it's functioning, applied by what? You know, because our mind stayed in you. I mean, our thinking, our thoughts, our process, our imagination is all connected to God, and God is giving us the right images inside in agreement with his thought and ideas. That's important to understand. Staying there, dwelling in the same way, Jesus said, my word dwell in you. Same thing. Okay, it's dwelling there. When it dwells, it just opens, functions inside you to make you think in a certain way. When we are exposed to things that are not of God, we are not going to have peace. We are going to have confusion. If you have confusion and fear inside yourself, your jetzer is not focused on the right thing. Because the result of having our imagination focused on God and knowing what God is like is not going to bring fear to us. It's going to bring assurance. It's going to be in peace. It's going to be, that's what the word says. So if it doesn't do what the word of God says, that means you are looking at the wrong thing. Hello? Are you listening to me? If you are looking at the wrong thing, and that you may think is God, but it's the God of your religion, of your idea, of man's ideas. What is going to bring about is not peace. Because the word says, and the word is true. So, you can figure out if you have the right image of God or not. And this is probably one of the basic things if you want to get anywhere in the spiritual dimension, in your spiritual growth. If you don't know what God is like, and you have a wrong image of God, it's going to create a problem for you spiritually. And there's been a lot of even Christian doctrines that are really completely unscriptural from the point of view, especially the New Testament, with the New Covenant. See, the time we are in is a time of grace, a period of grace. The gospel has been given that wasn't given before. God operates today according to the gospel, not according to the Old Testament principles. Jesus came to change what was there before. And we're going to see much more in detail some of these things. But if you don't understand that, you're going to pray wrong, you're going to believe wrong, you're going to get nowhere. Because you're on your own religion and not in connection with the Father. Let me continue here. Okay. Trusting in him is fundamental, but you cannot trust in somebody that you think is going to hurt you. Okay. Following verse, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is everlasting strength. So this is where you get the strength. That's where you get the ability. That's where you get rooted that you're not going to be moved. See, if you are tossed around by any idea that comes around, if you just listen to the new and you let the new blow you away every day, you're not going to have any strength inside you. You're going to be like this walk that, you know, just are panicking about everything. And that's not where God wants you to be. You want to be you as a rock. Our standing ground is not movable, is not sifting sands, is solid. And the word is solid, if we understand it properly. Okay, so the thing is about peace, which is, you know, peace is such an important concept for us. If we have no peace, we are not connected with God. We may be connected with the news. You're there, you know, connected with that, you're never going to have any peace because everybody is in panic and is in stress and everything else that is negative for you. See, the first indication that we are not connected properly is that we have fear in our life. And we had to know what to do about it. And the you just do what, you know, in perfect peace, which is the opposite of fear. Keep your imagination fixed on God, the way God is, the way God is revealed himself through the gospel. You know, there is so much, actually the gospel is so exciting. You know, that the more time goes by and the more you realize how much is there that you didn't even realize it before. And you can get that only by staying in there, by staying focusing on him. Okay, let's continue here. Okay, so the everlasting there. The other one that we talked about that is connected with that, okay, the fact that you're focusing on it, you know, is the law of attention or focus. It's given in, you know, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. You know, my son, attend to my word. I mean, just stay with the word. You see, the word is the base. That's the anchor we have to give us stability when we understand it. But when we interpret the word according to doctrines of man, we are going to be tossed around all over the place. And there are so many doctrines that are actually so destructive. And they are so widespread that it's very difficult even to get people to reject them. Because they think just because everybody believes it is the right thing. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Okay, let me continue here. So, okay, focus your attention, you know, on him. You know, don't let the word go out of your eyes. Just keep it in the middle of your heart, you know, because they are life to you. Life and strength and health. So you see, they all connected the same thing as before. The same thing about Proverbs chapter, you know, 3:5-10. You know, my son, attend to, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. See, that is such an important in concept that we had to get to. It's not your understanding. Sometimes, you know, things don't just work the way you think they should work. Just because they don't think the way it should work, you should trust the Lord more than your understanding. Praise the Lord. You see, and because of that, you see, one of the things we had to see, trust in the Lord, focusing on him, our attention given there, whole, you know, come and deal with a certain thing. Okay, that we had to learn to control our thoughts. We should submit our thoughts to the truth, not to the feelings we have, not to the things we observe in the world, not to what everybody says. We should believe what the Word of God says and really what it means, not what often is interpreted. That's critical. We need to understand the Word and allow the Word to take over us, the way Jesus did when he came on earth. He was the Word made flesh. And that's what has to happen with us. We had to go to the Word, spend time in the Word, allow the Word to just change the way we see, we interpret reality around us, the way we respond to the world around us. Sometimes it's completely contrary to the way we feel. Praise the Lord. The fact is, you know, that often we don't do that, and we are caught up by the environment we are in. When that happens, generally we respond according to the things that have got our attention instead of the Word, which are different in this case. And we, because our senses are much more stronger than our, sometimes the way we understand and appreciate the Word, we end up choosing our senses, choosing what everybody says, choosing what the news says, choosing what the things that don't line up with the Word. And the result of that is that we end up limiting what God can do in our life. This is what happened with the children of Israel when they were in the desert. They looked at the situation, they looked at everything else, and instead of looking at what the Word says, they were going by that. One of the first things started with, instead of praising God, they started to complain. Oh, just always this mama. I mean, and we had no water, and whatever. Oh, we are going to take in the desert so that they're going to kill us. That's not what God has said. They should have gone by what God has said, and they would have got what God has said. But they go with something else, and they get something else. We need to understand that what we choose to believe, where we stand, makes all the difference. And we had to learn to control our thoughts so that it is not submitted, you know, to the things, to our senses, but is submitted to what? To the Word of God. That's what means humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves is not flagellating ourselves. Humbling ourselves is not, you know, putting ourselves down. Humbling ourselves is believing God instead of believing what everybody says. Instead of believing what is accepted by society. Instead of believing what our senses even tell us. If the Word of God says, by your stripes, you were healed. And you say, thank you. Past tense. I receive it. I take it. And I start praising you about it. Instead of saying, it's not working yet. Oh, Lord, how long are you going to take to do something? Are you going to do it or not? Am I waiting here? That way you're going to wait forever. Because that is not being aligned yourself with the Word of God. And you let the other thought take over. See? You pray, and you pray according to the Word. You believe according to the Word, not what people say. The Word says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Thank you. I need healing physically. I believe I was healed. You had done it. You had done everything that needed to be done when Jesus came. That's the gospel. And I receive it. Even if I don't see it, I believe it. That's what opens the door But in our spirit, if we are born again, in our body, in our mind, and allow that power to be transferred from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension so that it can be manifested. God has infinite power. Do you believe that? It's the one who created everything. So, I mean, to fix a puny problem that you got, no matter how big you think it is nothing for God. But you have the ability to limit his ability to do something. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what the word says. And you can do exactly the same if you have the wrong thinking going inside you. Because God respects your will and your thinking. Praise the Lord. So what is important that we do understand, okay, that we line up our thinking with the word. Okay. Now there is a scripture that I want to bring up today. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred make the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Now that's very important. Okay. Now, you can take this scripture like the one I was using before, when we were before doing the offering, and you can distort it and fool yourself, deceive yourself out of anything that God wants to do with you. Because they say, you know, make the heart sick, the desire comes, is the tree of life. So you want something, whatever you want, you know, and you get it, oh yes, and you're going to be full of life. Full of, that's not true at all. Depends what your desire is like. If you desire something that God wants for you, yes. But if you desire something else, you may get the kick on the moment. But on the long run, it would be negative and it would produce negative things. So you see, you can have to take scripture with wisdom for what they mean, not what you want them to mean. Okay. If you, you know, plan to rob a bank, and said that's your desire, you know, and you want, you know, when it doesn't happen, when it happens, it's a tree of life. Yeah, it's a tree of life, you go to jail. That's the tree of life you're going to get. Hopefully for a long time, so that you have time to think about it before you do stupid things like that. You know, I'm making an exaggeration, I'm going to make an extrapolation there, but you know what I mean. Important thing to understand when we have to really have the wisdom to apply the scripture properly. Okay. When our hope is nothing else than our expectation. What do you expect God to do for you? See, this, when you expect God to do good things for you, all good things come from the Father. Do you believe that? Well, you know, lots of people says, you know, it does lots of negative things. Well, are you listening to lots of people or are you listening to what the word says? John 10:10 says very clearly to me, you know, that the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Making you sick is not abundant life. So we have to understand that. Okay, but if you don't control our thought, if you believe any story that they go around saying, you know, you say, well, you know, I'm sick, you know, I've been punished. That's not necessarily mean that. That's not really what God does for you. Not at this time. Okay. Anyway, see, Abraham overcame his problem. Okay, by doing certain things. In Romans 4:15-18 says, you know, who contrary to hope, in hope believe. So when the expectation were really too crazy to have them. He was 100 years old, he couldn't have a child, and it was contrary to what he just expected anyway. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what is spoken, you know, so shall your descended be, many of them, okay? And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, or having given glory to God. See, that's the thing that made the difference. Instead of focusing on the fact that he was 100 years old, and he could hardly walk around, he focused on the fact that God has promised, and he was going to be able to fulfill it because he has the whole power of the universe. If God made a promise, that means he is going to keep it because he's faithful, and if we don't get it, it's not because he's not faithful, it's because we miss it. And instead of, we should stop blaming God for the things we fail in. Is we have a responsibility to respond to the word in the right way. And here we see that Abraham responded in the right way. Instead of giving up, it's too old now. Every day he gets older. 25 years. He was waiting for a long time, wouldn't you think? Okay. He just didn't give up, didn't consider his own body. Oh, he was in denial. No, he wasn't in denial. He was in denial of what their senses were telling him. But he was believing what actually the word said, what God had told him. But if you don't believe that God speaks to you, if you don't believe that God works through his word and communicate to you, and believe only on the physical thing that you see, then, according to the psychologist, you are in denial. Because they do not accept the reality of a spiritual dimension that is superseding all the physical dimension that you can, and experiences you can have. See, they cut off the most powerful part of existence. And they try to tell people what to do. Are you following what I'm saying? We had to learn to get information from the right sources. And there is only one right source about spiritual stuff. It's the Word. Praise the Lord. So how did he do it then? You know, he was strengthening faith, giving glory to God. What does it mean to give glory to God? He was praising God. He was thanking him because God was doing it. And even if he didn't see it, it was coming to pass because he saw it coming. That was his imagination. He was focusing on what God said, and that's what his imagination was working inside him. He was going according to what God said, not according to what he saw himself in the mirror. The word was the mirror he was looking at. Praise the Lord. See, we have to understand, okay, that he was strengthening our faith. And really, the one of the basic things that we're going to start talking about today is the law of receiving. The law of receiving, understand the way God works for anything that you receive from God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says very clearly, "For by grace you have been saved." And when I talk about saved, means that, you know, everything that the blessing that comes from God, everything that grace provides. Okay. So, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Now, grace, the meaning of grace, the word grace means gift. It's a simple gift. is something that you don't work for. If I give you a gift, you don't have to do anything to get it. You have just to take it. If you don't take it, if I make it, give you a gift, he says, look, I have this gift for you. Could be something valuable, something that you want. He says, it's for you. And you come to me the following day, he says, look, you know, I wanted to give you a car, say. You know, I knew that you needed a car. So I want to give you a car. And I tell you, I bought a car for you. Go and take it. And the following day you come to me. Look, I really need a car. Would you give it to me, please? You are the same thing as the person that God, you know, God has healed 2,000 years ago. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. And God says, the healing is yours. Take it. And you come to God begging and praying and asking and, you know, trying to put his arm on his back so that he's believing, you know, and listening to you. Says, please heal me. Or please give me a car. I gave it to you yesterday. You had to go to the garage, pick up the keys, and go. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, you don't have it. And have you gone to the garage? See, the same thing about healing. People says, by Jesus' stripes, the word says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Past tense. Jesus did it. So is what happened that he did is already done. I don't have it. Not physically. God doesn't do things physically. God does things spiritually. He is a spirit, works in the spiritual dimension. The people that you transfer things from the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension is us. He put us and made us in such a way that that's the way we function. We had to take the stuff that are true in the spirit and bring it about here by our faith. By believing, before we see it. If you see it, you don't need any faith to, because you already have it there. But if you don't have it, then you have to exercise your faith, believing what God said, and do what Abraham did. Glorifying him. Thank you, Lord. I took it, take it. I receive it. I believe it. I hold on. I'm not here doubting it. Well, you know, I don't have it. What are you looking at? What the Word of God says? Or your physical condition? What you see is what you believe. She's like Thomas. Unless I touch his hand and I touch his side, I will not believe. And what did Jesus say to him? Bless you, I believe, because you have seen and touched. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. And that applies to everybody. That was just teaching him. You know, that's why he did all what he went to see him. And what he told it so that we may know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, faith is simply believing what the Word of God says. Not just believing anything. See, it's not positive thinking. It's not, oh, God wants to, you know, do things that are not lined up with the Word. Are you following what I'm saying? Has to be lining up with the Word, what you believe. Okay. And it's not done by yourself. It's not our strength. See, that is not done by ourselves. You know, it's not by our strength, by ability. It's not what we do. We do nothing to make it happen in the physical. We just do something spiritually in a position we take. Because that is what has to be activated. Are you with me yet? Okay. Not by our own strength, not by ourselves. It is the gift. So it's just, we cannot do it in our strength. Okay. Not the works, lest anyone should perish, should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And somebody that doesn't understand anything and thinks he does, so wait a minute, there's a contradiction here. You know, before it's not the works, and now it's the good works that we had to do. Evidently, you know, God is not stupid to in two senses contradict himself. Who is stupid here? We have to understand that. We have to get to the point. So he's not talking about that. He's not talking that interpretation. Okay, he's saying that, you know, and this is such an important concept. Okay, the works that we do, that doesn't get anywhere, that doesn't have any power spiritually, is the work that we do to get somebody, to get God to do something for us. Like, for example, I need to be healed. I don't see the answer. I better pray more than I prayed before. I better make sure that I go to church every Sunday. I better make sure all the other things that I had to do and try to convince God that, you know, I'm lined up and I'm clean. You know, by being clean, you're going to get nothing. And if you don't understand that, you have a really blockage about being able to get things from God. You know, God doesn't look at our cleanness. God looks at our faith. Because our faith is what makes us righteous before him, not our walk. God's love for us is unconditional. He loves us the way we are. He loved us before we even knew him, and he sent Jesus for us. That's the biggest thing that you can ever imagine anybody to do. You are there rejecting him. You are there, you know, doing all the wrong thing and going against his will. And he sent Jesus to die for you. But then you start in the flesh, the spirit, and then continue in the flesh. And there's a big story there that we are going to cover up in a number of times. But the idea, okay, that if we want to receive from God, okay, we are going to be simply believe what Jesus has done was more than enough, because you are never going to do enough to deserve anything from God. Now, when you're starting from that point, God is going to give to you things, and you're going to just connect with you better and better. You're going to know him, know the way he works, and you're going to be able to receive from him. Why? Because you simply believe and you don't go, well, you know, I prayed 10 hours more than last week. I fasted for 40 days. So what? He's going to tell you. You think that that was going to make you clean? You may learn to control a bit your life. Your senses, you know, not to be dependent on physical things, but that's not going to get you any point with God. The only way you're getting a point with God is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who had no sin became sin for you, so that you may become the righteousness of God in him. So to the degree that you are in him, that means trusting in him. Everything that he did is what allowed you to enter before the presence of God. Okay, that means all the benefits that he provided for you. Okay. We should live by faith,
That's the only way to please God. That's what says here, presently we should do. Praise the Lord. And, you know, God can do anything when we are doing that, what he would expect us to do. That is walking by faith. That means walking by what the Word of God says, by believing and not thinking that because we do the Word, we get special benefits. You know, why do you think sometimes the people, when they're born again, they knew nothing. Their life is a complete mess. They get the biggest miracle that anybody can get. From being dead spiritually, they become alive and connected with God in the Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and following. Sometimes they even get physical healing. When you get somebody that has been a Christian for 50 years and has a spick-span life, nothing wrong, they can even get a cold healed. And you say, and they get mad at God because look at this guy. He's a mess. Was taking drugs the following week. Still has a mouth that is terrible to listen to. He accepted you, and you delivered him from addiction, you probably healed too. What's wrong with you, God? I'm so good. Something is wrong, not with God, or with us, when we think that way. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me continue here. You see, this is so important. You know, God has the power to do everything because the power is enormous. And he is a just judge. He knows how to evaluate things. He doesn't look at the physical appearances or what we say or what we even believe. Okay? We may believe the wrong thing. And he's not going to get there. And we have all the faith about that. See, says there in, you know, First Corinthians, you know, I may have the faith to move mountain. It doesn't do anything for me good. Because I'm really so much believing for something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's loving God, which is really coming out from accepting what Jesus has done, then produces the changes in us. It produces the result. Praise the Lord. Okay? The power that is in us is beyond anything that we can imagine. You know, some people said, you know, sometimes they have serious diseases, cancer, for example. You know, and the big problem about cancer is not that it's that difficult to overcome. It's that it has such a big, bad reputation. And people believe in that. Instead of believing that God is much more powerful than any cancer you can think of. God is powerful. All things are possible with God. So, you know, anything in the physical is nothing that he cannot do. And if we believer, you know, have more problem about praying for somebody that has cancer than somebody that has a itch on the nose, we have problem with our belief system. Because from God's point of view, there is absolutely no difference. Is our fear, that means our unbelief, that is ruling our thinking and is affecting our faith. And we have to understand that, you know, when we give more value to something than something else, that means we believe more in the ability of that thing Okay, like for example, in this case, cancer with respect to God. I mean, that's difficult for God to do. Absolutely no. It's we have a problem in believing what God says. Praise the Lord. We don't need to do the things. We need to simply believe God's word and trusting what Jesus has done. This is the basis according to which we get healed. This is the basis according to which we get saved. That's the basis according to which we start walking with God. Praise the Lord. You know, if we do it any other way, then we are legalists. We are following the law. We are not following. We are denying what Jesus has done. This is such an important thing. See, our faith, okay, doesn't make God do something. With our faith, you don't push God to do anything. It's not a magic wand. You just use it and you, by magic, so God is going to do it because he changed his mind. No, God is not going to do anything that he has not done already. He did it 2,000 years ago when Jesus was on the cross. Jesus did everything that needed to be done and said, "It is finished," and it is finished. And if you want him to do something now, it's like the same thing I'm saying, you know, the car that I said, you know, I give you a car, and you say, "I don't have it." You had to believe, you had to exercise your faith. Faith does not produce a change or a response of God. Faith changes your position with respect to what God has done. And unless you do that, you are not in the position to appropriate or to receive anything. Now, this is the mystery of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and it is now being revealed by his Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, and that the Gentile should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through God," the gospel. You see, the gospel is the power of God. Paul said it very clearly. In the gospel, which is, "I'm not mad at you anymore. I sent Jesus, and Jesus paid the price. Now it's up to you to line up yourself with what I have done." And Jesus said it very clearly. Jesus said it very clearly. Okay. The good news, and we had to probably go into that more next week. But the good news, okay, that God is at peace with us, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And through it, not through legalism, we can receive from God the ability to fulfill the law. But not by following the law, by walking by faith. That's what makes the difference. Okay. Christianity is not work-based. Christianity is not based on our performance. Christianity is based on Jesus' performance. That's how we get anywhere from God. See? Let me read two more scriptures. And I close with that. I'm not going to talk too much about them either. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So it doesn't say that we are accepted by our good behavior. He said we are accepted by his grace. Grace is something that is given us free. And we receive freely. But we receive it only in one way. By faith. By believing that he gave it to us. Are you following what I'm saying? See, I'm going to read another one. Because, you know, we need to reinforce this inside ourselves. For the grace of God that brings salvation, that means deliverance from all the things that we can be delivered, has appeared to all men. Didn't say has appeared to only the one that's saved. Everybody, you see, this is clearly said when the gospel is properly preached. But it's not only to the people that receive it. It's for everybody that hear it. It's revealed to them. The point is, are they accepting it? Are they believing it? Are they going with it? Or are they going to see, no, wait a minute, you know, I want to go my way. I know a better way. Now, even Jesus said that when he said, narrow is the way to bring us to salvation, and few go in it. And, you know, broad and easy is the way that brings to destruction, and many follow it. See, that decision is what makes the difference. Is what you believe. Do you believe the gospel, or you believe your senses? Do you believe what everybody says, you believe what the world's position is. I live with that for this week. So you just meditate on it. The implication that that gives you in terms of receiving. Okay. Because, you know, when you start thinking right about how you approach God to receive, you're going to have a much easier way of getting positive result than if you go your way. Because God doesn't change because of what you believe. And with that, I'm going to close for today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I think maybe we can pray together. We can pray together that we get revelation, understanding. See, the wisdom. Jesus is, you know, wisdom and power in us. The gospel is power in us. Just simply the gospel. And so we had to just get to the place in which we embrace that mystery that is a mystery because it's not really easily understood and is not very often even believed by the people who call themselves Christians because they fall back into the religion of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus so that we may be saved, delivered, set free from religion and rules, and be able to connect with you and your Holy Spirit that you have given us when Jesus came to you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, enables us to know the truth so that we may be set free. I thank you, Lord, that I can be free today to receive everything that Jesus did for me. And I receive it by believing it, by trusting in you, by not doubting it, but standing firm by the word on the word, believing it and seeing it manifested in my life. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.